Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Smell.
Oh, that's nice, Alice. It was recording.
To grow old with you.
Okay.
I wanna grow.
Oh, into the bridge or something? hello, welcome to Bonus of the Heart. My name is Rose. Alice is currently... No, keep doing it.
I'm currently watercoloring.
What are you doing with the pencil?
I'm going over my mistakes.
What, where?
Like on the little greys.
Oh. No, that's good. So Alice, sorry, is currently painting a big New Zealand Easter egg hunt egg with...
my second one. Oh, are you sitting on my other?
No, I'm not. It's right there. I'm not a filthy animal. I would never do that.
It's the kind of thing I would do, that's why I'm... But not on purpose, you know? Like, it's just the sort of mistake that I would make.
Sure. We just watched The Wedding Singer, actually. Oh my God.
Gosh.
Look.
I'm ready to fall in love.
Me too. Jesus Christ. I actually cried. You didn't really see me, but it was quite funny. I
could tell that you were...
having an emotional moment.
Yeah, you were having a reflection. I mean, because both of us, I think, spiraled last night. And so this was a movie that was like, we were both like, we'll never have sex, we'll never fall in love. No one will ever love us for who we are or want to be within relationships with us.
Because it's such a pure love in Wedding Singer.
I know.
I can't even get over it. Like, it's such a sweet movie. It's such a sweet love story.
It really is.
It's perfect.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What goes with purple, blue, and pink?
Yellow. A light yellow.
A light yellow. Yeah, okay.
So just vibe that out.
Yeah. God. I just think The Wedding Singer is such a good movie.
What an incredible, incredible film.
Love is just the best, isn't it?
Oh, when she's like, I'm totally in love with you.
I know. Oh,
I cried when she said that.
It's so beautiful.
She's an interesting, sweet character. It's so rare to see that.
I know. Well, tell the audience what you read about.
I went straight on IMDb trivia, as I do after every film I watch, even if I've seen it before, to just, you know,
see if there's new trivia.
Totally. Carrie Fisher did a lot of script doctoring for it and, you know, did 6 months work on the script to make Julia's character more complex and more, you know, three-dimensional than it previously probably was. And honestly, she did such an incredible job, teamed with Drew Barrymore, just, you know, putting in a stellar performance, I think.
I think she's so underrated.
She's so underrated.
Someone was tweeting the other day about how if Grey Gardens had a cinema release, she would have won an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably true. Like, her performance in that was truly transformative.
And, man, I really wanted some of her rosé. She makes rosé.
Yeah, and we were also saying, God, she's done well to overcome her childhood.
For sure. She had a really, fucked up childhood. Full on.
Well, she was on drugs by the time she was, like, 12, and then she was in rehab.
Support,
and,
you know.
Just, I think she's incredible.
And, like, oh, my God, like, it's Charlie's Angels on Netflix, because, fuck me, that was a huge film for me as a kid.
And she produced that.
Come on.
Yeah, she did. That was her
Flower Films. Shout out to Flower Films. Shout out to Flower Beauty products.
Yes.
It's still going on.
Yeah, big time. And she's a mogul. She's a single mum mogul, and we should all bow down to her, really.
Oh, God, yeah. I really love her. I love her lisp, and I love her performance. I think Adam Sandler.
Lisps drive me wild.
Is that Pilot?
What?
Can you hear Pilot right now?
No, I think now that you're just imagining it now.
Okay. I'm just imagining the dog. Mm. I want to talk about Adam Sandler for a second because I think he's absolutely gorgeous in this film.
Yeah, you had a huge boner for
Adam
Sandler.
I had a huge boner for him. I thought he was so handsome.
I think
so
he's
cute,
adorable, but I don't have a boner for him.
I really love his personality in it, and I love his just sweetness.
Joie de vivre.
And I love his look. I think he's a handsome guy in The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, fuck yeah, that's true.
I think he's a really good actor as well. Really good actor.
Now, I think we should address the elephant in the room, which is that this is our last day together.
We've got tomorrow morning together.
Do we?
Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, we do. Well, but, you know, it's going to be like last day of camp, you know?
It is last day of camp. We haven't really done anything. I was going to be like, oh, you know, we should do the stuff, but I can't be fucked.
Nah, I think it's all right.
I think it's okay. You made a really nice little tequila kind of a...
I did.
I should make another one. Are you kidding me? I finished the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I licked the damn sides of it.
All right. Okay. I got a little bit self-conscious that maybe you weren't into that.
I think you should put more tequila in it, to be quite frank.
Really?
Yeah.
I put in like... 2 doubles each.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't taste it.
Well, that's probably because of all the passion fruit sorbet that was in it.
You know, we've got fresh passion fruit in the cupboard.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, I should put that in it.
God, so happy that we could share that with everyone listening to the pod.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you rate your chances of finding your one true love?
In life?
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx myself. What if I jinx myself right now? But okay, one true love in my life. Okay, 1 to 10.
1 to 10. 10 being 50 years of marriage, die in each other's arms.
Hang on, sorry. Are we doing 1 to 10 likelihood of me finding that person, or 1 to 10 of like rating that person that I end up with as being the love of my life?
Oh, really good. Okay, they're two separate questions though.
Okay, so the question of whether or not I'm going to meet that person.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. I think I have a 7 out of 10 chance of meeting someone that I'll be happy with for the rest of my life.
But they won't necessarily be the love of your life.
Oh, like, no, sorry, 7 out of 10 love of my life chance.
Yeah, that's good. Wow. I'm happy to hear that you're so positive. I'm genuinely buoyed by that.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you hope for? I think I would have been 10 out of 10, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. So there has been some erosion of confidence.
It's been a huge erosion of confidence as time goes by.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
But I think, you know, standards lower.
I said this to Leon last night when I texted him saying that we were both concerned that we won't meet the loves of our life. That we won't... What did I say to him?
What did you say to him?
He sent back a really lovely text.
Well, that's nice.
I said to him... He goes, how are you guys going over there? And I said... Both of us worried we'll never find love.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
And he said, I reckon you both will, but also there are so many other things to cherish.
Oh, of course.
That sounds like somebody who's covering his tracks for us not finding love, actually.
No, now, I'm completely aware of all the other things I have to cherish in life.
Same.
But then like what else? Then you've got to have something to kind of
something
aim
to aspire
for.
To, yeah.
I think though that like
it is
beyond like, you know, sorry, beyond like true, wonderful, sweet platonic friendships. If I had to choose between finding one love of my life, romantic love of my life for the rest of my life, or the group of strong platonic friendships I have with all my friends, I'd absolutely choose my platonic friendships. 100%. 100%. But in some cases you can have both.
Yeah, absolutely. I love my friends. My friends are great.
I'd rather have good friends than like shit friends and one person I love.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
That's true. But those two things aren't mutually exclusive.
100%. And so that's why I'm still ruthlessly pursue love with I actually don't even think I do.
I think that you do.
Maybe you I pursue the ideals of love but not actual tangible.
You ruthlessly pursue attraction.
Oh my god, that's a read of and a half, Jesus.
Do you not support that though?
I don't think attraction is the right word.
What is it you're attracted to in a person, do you reckon? I was having this conversation with someone the other day where they were like, I'm chasing what I'm horny for.
Sure. Okay, we're going to both say what we think.
Yeah. Do you want to say it on the count of three? Oh, but then mine. But no, I know no, that you're gonna. I know that you're gonna hate mine, and I'm not saying that mine is like what I'm attracted to necessarily. Like initially,
I'm hate yours. I
know, but this is the noise you're gonna make. That's the noise that I anticipate that you'll make.
Good acting.
Yeah, thank you. Will you put me in something?
Send in a tape.
I have sent in a tape to be in one of your things before.
Have you?
Yeah. You helped me do it. For Baby Done.
No, it was my thing.
Well, you were the star of the movie. And I have a starring role.
God. Yeah, well, you do. And it pays to have friends in high places as well.
Absolutely.
I gave up half my paycheck to get you.
God, I can't believe your paycheck was only $1,000.
New Zealand film, baby. Support New Zealand cinema. What would I say that I'm... So I'm currently lounging on the couch, by the way.
No, I think that's good. This is Good Friday, baby.
It's Good Friday.
This is the day that Jesus died for our sins.
I had two coffees and I'm still yawning. I need another tequila, weird fucking
cocktail. That water will be cold soon. We can have tequila sodas.
Oh, my God. Look at this life we live in. Yeah. So, okay, great. I'm glad we can get to the bottom of this before we part ways.
So the agenda for today is to find out what you value in relationships and what you're attracted to initially, maybe.
This is intense chat.
Oh, do you want to do something else?
No, I love it. I mean, of course, it was talked about far more intense things than this.
And then maybe something fun.
Maybe a bit of free time.
Just, you know, a bit of SSR.
A bit of, you know, like, just talk about what you want, you know.
Yeah. And then it'll have some call-ins, probably.
Have a couple call-ins. And then maybe just, and like, what have we learned?
Yeah.
At the end. Yeah.
Okay. So two categories. What are you attracted? What's so hard to separate them? What are you initially attracted to that's not physical? And what are you looking for in a relationship?
Cool. Can I just... Oh, yes. Okay.
Like, what are you attracted to for a relationship?
What? No. Attracted to in a person in a relationship or attracted to in a... Like, for in a relationship? What kind of relationship?
I think let's not narrow the discussion too much. Just read into it what you want.
Also, I just do want to... Fuck, we got an email that was so... Oh, my God. Such a read on us. Can I say this? Can I... This is insane. This is from Joe in Edinburgh. And basically, unauthorized shout out to her Kiwi soulmate Jane, who's in Guatemala. Joe's in Edinburgh. And last week they did a podcast Skype.
You're
and
not
listened
in
together
Guatemala
simultaneous.
Now, Dr.
No. Not for that. We have international listeners. Can you think about that for God's sake? Okay. They listen to it on podcast on Skype. Sorry, Alice is cutting out her egg right now, so I'll read. So basically, this was how to lose a guy in 10 days situation. And she went, anyway, onto the more pressing issue, how to lose a guy in 10 days. I couldn't help but think, as I listened to the debate, that this argument really spoke to your own vulnerabilities. Knowing you as well as I obviously do, this is, of course, deeply insightful. So Alice... The idea that you would begin to love someone and truly think they loved you in return is a beautiful, terrifying, and all-consuming thing. And if someone was to compromise or deceive you in this way, it would devastate you.
I'm actually maybe going to cry.
Wait, this is like when we give too much of ourselves over in this fucking podcast. People know us way too well. And this is even worse, Alice. Okay, and then Rose, less likely to fall for the idea of someone being in love with you. You have well documented your love for people who treat you like shit, in brackets, no judgment, I am also a big fan. Therefore, the idea that someone would engage you and then purposely try to be a terrible person to you is terrifying because you know that in that scenario, you would not leave but be drawn further into the relationship, trapped in a perpetual cycle of pain.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So
it's full on, but so
full
true.
On and so true.
Leon actually did that to us as well. I won't read up what he said, but remember he texts us very specifically saying why you're passionate about this argument.
He cited references.
Is both of your exactly. He cited relationship references.
Yeah, it was dark.
Do you reckon I can do that?
What
does that register? Okay,
I mean, I have no way of knowing until we... She's put the microphone in her cleavage. That's basically it. It's a holder. I mean, give it a go for a while, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
That's such a good read, man.
It really is. And I think that's true of both of us. Love, to me, is the most important thing.
Well, me too. But we just go about it in different ways, maybe.
Yeah, so let's say, what is it that you...
One, we're going to say three things that if we find attractive in a person.
That aren't physical?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go. Sense of humour.
Yeah, well, I mean, me too.
You can have the same.
I think you need to elaborate when you say that. So when you say, okay, I'll investigate you. So okay, sense of humour. So what about, what if they're funnier than you? Do they need to be funnier than you?
No, absolutely not.
Do they need
not.
To be not as funny as you?
No, I don't care. I'd love them to be funnier than me.
They need to be funny in a different way of you, as you? Do you find it confronting if the person is like funny in the exact same way as you?
I would find it very hard to like distill exactly what my style of funny is, so I'm not sure that I would necessarily recognize it straight away if that person was funny in the same way to me.
Okay.
I just think they need to make me laugh, and they need to laugh at my jokes when they're good. Not
what
always.
What about if someone
I like if someone can do a bit, you know, that yeah. I find that attractive.
But I find it interesting though, because like sense of humors aren't like just like you have a sense of humor. It's like sense of humor is so different in every person.
Yeah.
And you find in the first like flushes of romance or whatever, like you can find that you're still finding your footing with someone's sense of humor. Like you're like, because they're not exact, it's not going to be exactly the same as you, but you find the kind of similarities in your senses of humor, or what you find funny, or what's like not funny to that person.
Like,
or
yes and no. And I don't know what this speaks to, but like I don't know. Sense of humor is one of those things that, rather than finding my footing early on in a relationship, it's like one of the initial sparks of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you can like be funny with another person and make each other laugh, like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you find your footing in terms of like what's funny with. No, actually, I disagree. I think that it's just something that's either there or it's not, because I think it is largely indicative of chemistry.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously it's something there or not, but it's also like there are times. Okay, maybe this speaks to my own fucking pickiness. Well, like if someone doesn't completely get your sense of humor, like completely, then I'm like, oh, nah.
Yes, for sure. But that's what I think I'm saying, which is that.
There's room to move. Like. Of all the people I've gone out with, they've all had slightly different senses of humour, which I appreciate in different ways.
I'm not saying that they have to be I'm looking for one particular type of sense of humour. It's like, how does their sense of humour gel with yours?
Right.
And I think that you know that pretty early on, because for me, that's one of the things that makes me feel like a spark.
Do you find it jarring when someone you're with finds something funny that you don't find funny?
Yes.
Yeah, I find it very jarring.
Yeah, and I don't know how to deal with it.
I know, me neither.
I don't know.
We're fucking bitches. It's insane.
I think I just go, lol. No, I don't do that. I don't know. I think I'm pretty honest about it, to be fair. I would never fake amusement at something for a relationship.
Well, I don't think you could have the capability to do that.
No, I don't think I'm capable of it.
You're too honest.
Yeah. All right. You're one. And then I'll investigate you.
Well, I mean, I would say the same. But so to that point, I think it actually is bad. Like, I don't want to put it in my list, because I think the sense of humor that I find attractive in some people is being very mean to me. Like, and so I think it's good. Like, it's like because I think it's on the outset.
Go on.
I don't know if that was the right word, but from the first thing is that like you can, like chemistry is often like, it's a very easy form of chemistry. It's to give people shit in a safe space.
Yes.
To be like a dick, to basically neg someone.
Yes.
Is like immediate. Like is the easiest form of chemistry that you can get. Right.
Yes.
Most uncomplicated one. So that's why. I have positive connotations towards negative, but like, you know, like kind of jabs.
Yeah. I personally have a strange relationship with that, because I do get a lot of shit. I do.
You absolutely do.
I get a lot of shit from you, but more specifically, whenever there is
Emma thinks that we do it too much.
To each other?
Yeah.
Really?
She does.
What does she think? That it's,
she thinks it's not healthy.
What, how much we...
how much we impress each other at being a bit mean to each other.
Oh, no. Who the fuck is she to comment?
I know, right?
Bring her on the pod. Let's have a bloody go.
Well, because, like, well, me and her don't have that relationship. Oh, we do kind of, but not the relationship that we have. Where, like, we actively entertain each other by how mean we are to each other. Not mean. Well, it's not mean, though. It's like, it's...
I never think of it as mean.
I don't think I... Yeah, I don't think I...
I will say this. A couple of times, people have done that to me to endear themselves to me, and I go the other way.
Oh, completely. If
and
the person...
it's unpredictable how I will react. Imagine if you didn't
respect... Imagine if someone you didn't respect tried to do that to you.
Oh, I honestly find that to be repulsive. And, like, I will immediately be put off a person. And people have tried to do that to me. And I think sometimes it's because of a product of our relationship, and they hear about how talk to each other,
yeah,
that they think that we can have the same relationship, and that makes me want to vomit in my hands.
Oh my god, I honestly think that's so true.
Yeah,
I think our relationship is very, very, very specific.
It is.
Even when Leon will give a shit,
it should not be tried without
Leon will give a shit, and we're like, "What the fuck are you talking about, Leon? What the fuck?"
Leon gives me. Just so much shit.
Yeah, I love it.
He just non-stop giving me shit. Leon is a very good friend of mine. He's my flatmate
In
New Zealand.
Shit.
And one of my very best
Leon
friends.
Cuts through, man.
That's the thing about his shit is that they are... That it is... It's so...
He sees
it's
you.
Always on the border.
I know.
It's always on the border.
What do you mean on the border?
Like, between, like, something that I will find funny and something that will make me cry.
Yeah, yeah. Love that. Love that space. I think you're right. And people think that they can speak to us the way we speak to each other. And it's just not. It's not okay.
True. It's not true at all.
But wait, were you making a point about how... Oh, no, you already made that point. Okay, cool. Back to the agenda. Okay, so my thing that I'm attracted to is... I think it is a mean sense of it's not that mean sense of you, but you know, ability to, like, you know, I don't know.
Hold on. So are you saying is this an addition to sense of humor, or is this you clarifying your stance on sense of humor?
I'd say sense of humor.
So is your first one sense of humor and your second one a type of sense of humor, or?
Oh, this is one. Like, the type of sense of humor where they're, like, not... I have a difficulty where like, a real difficulty...
Speak freely.
I can't speak freely. This is too much.
Speak freely.
I think there's a real delicate balance when you're unfortunately programmed to be attracted to people who don't... Not respect you, but, like, have power over you through some means to confuse... being attracted to like a certain, like, power as opposed to being attracted to someone who uses power to, like,
okay, I need
have
to,
a higher
I need to
status
stop water
over
coloring
you.
So that I can understand exactly what
I don't know understand what
articulate.
I'm overheating.
Just to be clear, okay, we're going three things that we're attracted to that are non-physical in a person. Your first thing is sense of humor. Now, are you elaborating more on what you mean by that, or are you trying to tap into a second thing that you're attracted to? The misuse of power.
First one, sense of humor. What's your next one?
You're fully backing off.
No,
now.
I'm trying to think about what I'm trying to say.
Is there something you, like, could say to elaborate on it, but it's too personal?
No. I'm just trying to figure out what I mean. Not really. I'm just trying to figure out what I mean. It's very weird. I don't know. I'm just attracted. I don't know what I'm attracted to. I don't know. I'm honestly unsure. Oh, you're looking at me like you feel like you could tell me what I'm attracted to.
Absolutely.
Oh my god, you fucking think you know everything.
It's not that I know everything, I just know you very well.
Well, me too. Okay, go on, you second one. I need to get my sunglasses.
Okay, I'm going to say this, but there's a caveat on it. I'm trying to think of what the right word is to encapsulate what I mean, but I think, like, compassion, maybe? Mm-hmm. Like, somebody who looks out for others and you can, like, see them doing that and is, like, kind of aware of the people around them and...
Yes.
I was going to say kindness, but I feel like that word's kind of been co-opted.
No, I think, it's, what's the word? I know what you mean, and I know people like this, and it's just such an attractive quality. Just like, it's the opposite of carelessness.
Yeah.
It's like awareness of other people's needs.
Yeah.
Emotional exactly. intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, like just being not a fucking robot.
It's like caring and like knowing how to apply that, I feel. Like noticing something and knowing how to apply something that can help a person is like very attractive. And I don't mean like them in terms of like doing it to you, but like thinking of other people is an attractive quality mm-hmm. to me.
Okay. I think I went too negative with my second one, like just before, because I was trying to unpack something really deeply, like probably personal and yeah. therapeutic. So I will say this, attracted to people who can, just a competence.
Yeah, you do love that.
Competence.
It's so attractive though, eh? When you see someone be like good at their job and shit.
Or just, yeah, no, not even that. Like I think there's a difference between like okay. talent crush kind of stuff where you're like, oh, that person's really good. No, I mean like, you know, making a reservation or something, or like yeah. being able to cook a dinner without being applauded for it or something.
Yeah,
or just
right.
like, or maybe just like, I don't know.
I know what you mean about being able to make a dinner. Like you can just trust them to take care of tasks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fully get that.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, my third one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just what is about initial attraction, right? We're not talking about relationships here.
Yeah.
Okay. I think... and excluding all physical things.
Yes. Breasts are not an emotional quality. They can be. An emotional state of mind.
Sometimes the way I treat them, they are.
I think you're I think you were intelligence, maybe?
Yeah, I think probably. Yeah,
yeah.
For sure. Yes. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Intelligence as determined by me.
Yeah.
Not book smarts, you know?
Yeah, no, no.
I like somebody who can have a proper conversation and debate and all that shit.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's like an offset of like competence is like a version of that.
Yeah, but no, you're right. Intelligence, yeah.
I don't know. Third thing.
What's yours? Come on.
Oh, Oh, maybe this is like competence, good work ethic.
Yeah,
I'm unfortunately attracted to that and unattracted to the opposite.
Do you think could I substitute work ethic for you for ambition?
Sorry, ambition.
Yeah,
because work ethic isn't like necessarily to do the work, but you just need to be striving for something in your life.
Yeah,
and be passionate about something, and it doesn't even need to be me necessarily. You know, it just needs to be something else. And actually, if it is me, I'm probably put off by the fact.
Yeah, by that.
It's a horrible double-edged sword of someone is so into you that I actively puts me off.
Well, you don't want to be somebody's only like...
What's a reflection of low self-esteem, I think, is that I judge someone if they were really into me because I'm like, who do you... Get a better hobby.
Oh, no, Rose, you're great.
Thanks, Alice. But I do genuinely feel that way.
Oh, I mean, I think it's dangerous for you to be... For someone to be like your, like, number one...
Yeah, absolutely.
Only, like, thing in life that you're pursuing, you know? Yeah. Like, in some ways, I think, like, Noah is kind of in a dangerous position with Ellie in The Notebook for that reason.
Yeah, that's so true.
Because he does, yes, he does funnel all his energy into that house, but it's still for her, you know? Mm-hmm. He's still getting better at carpentry in the aid of tracking her down.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, ambition. So
I think there's a little bit for himself in there, though.
Okay.
Do you not think?
No,
along the way, he's like, oh, you know, I'm enjoying this. I'm not hating it the whole time.
No, but he is so depressed.
Yeah, it's true.
He's so depressed when he's not with her.
Yeah, it's a bit of a toxic relationship.
It kind of is a little bit. I mean, at the end, it works out because they're so obsessed with each other.
Mm.
But I think, I don't know. I think it's okay to be obsessed with each other and have it not be toxic. Just there has to be mutual obsession, you know?
Yeah. God.
What is it my dad said to me? Did I tell you about this? He was like, I was the first thing I was attracted to. He didn't tell me this, by the way. He told Sophie Dowson, a friend of ours, just when she happened to be dropping off like a thing of milk or something. I was like, how the fuck did you end up in this conversation? But he was like, the first thing I was attracted to in your mother, talking to Sophie about my mother, first thing I was attracted to in Jo was her fierce intelligence, and then we kissed, and it was electric.
Wow! It's so great! Oh my god! Far out, that's brilliant!
Isn't that nice? It's so sweet.
I think we talk about ourselves too much on this podcast.
Who else are we going to talk about?
Our friends. Bitch about our friends.
Okay, yeah, let's bitch about him.
No, I mean, like, this originally, the premise was to talk about celebrity boners, but we've kind of just talked about every single one of them.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe there is something not okay with, like...
From the podcast or something and come back with fresh, you know.
True. I think maybe, there's something dangerous about, like, crush culture in the sense that, like, it's, like, simulated romance and it's attachment to things that aren't real, and so it gives you high expectations for real life relationships and intimacy
without question.
I know, but then what else do you fucking do in this world?
Well, I try and actually connect with people.
Crush culture is my culture, but it's ruining my life.
A 90-minute exposé.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
We go behind the scenes, yeah. Welcome to my TED Talk. No, I do think it's dangerous for sure. But, I mean, it's like, it depends how much you invest in it. I mean, if you're doing it and you're not also, like, out there, you know, experimenting or, like, trying to actually form real connections, then I think potentially it's harmful. But if you're just doing it, you know...
You just described the first, 20 years of my life. Not 20 years. Why are you making that face?
Because it was very funny, but I'm trying not to laugh as much anymore.
Why?
Because of the quality and quantity of my laugh.
Oh my God, get over it, girl.
I get so much shit for my laugh.
No, you don't. Everyone emails and going, oh my God, I love Alice's laugh. Oh, it brings me joy, etc., etc. Yeah. And only half of those are me. And fake email addresses to try and, you know... Boost your self-esteem.
To boost my self-esteem.
I'm
just aware, like, I've been watching a lot of Bad News back and hearing my laugh, and like I've literally been giving notes like, please.
Bad News is her show, by the way, not just Bad News.
It's my show. It's my on demand, it'll be on YouTube, the second season of it, so everyone will be able to watch it.
Yeah.
Please tune in on YouTube. Check it out. Coming out in a couple months. What?
No, I'm just thinking.
Are you going to watch it this season, do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. I'll have a peek.
You'll give it a go, eh? If it holds up.
Yeah.
If it's a shitty second season, then I respect you not watching it.
Imagine the harshest thing would be like just hearing me from the next room, starting to watch it, and then hearing it pause. Just watching, and then just turning on Spotify. The coldest prank of all time. I'm actually just having a bit of a revelation here, I think, with the whole premise of this show.
Yeah, you're having trouble with it today.
I'm having trouble with it.
Well, do you want to talk about something else?
What else do we have to talk about?
Well, I mean, I will say this, that the podcast is a little bit of a misnomer in terms of like the quantity of our conversations, or like the variety of our conversations.
Yeah.
Because in real life, we don't just only talk about boys or girls and who we're going to fuck. Like, yes, that takes like a big portion of our time up because we're both essentially always constantly looking for...
But like, what is that? Like our, because like, so it feels
the
like
podcast
when we were,
doesn't meet the Bechdel test.
When we were made as Sims or whatever, our, for some reason our settings were set to, oh, this person will just ruthlessly pursue some form of love for the rest of their lives. Maybe everyone's doing that, but in different forms, right?
I believe that everyone is searching for love.
No, actually, I think some people are searching for power and don't understand love.
But I think that those are bad people.
Well, yeah, I know, which is, you just absolutely undermined your argument there. Everyone's searching for love. No, sorry, not everyone, just every good person.
Every good person is too. It's not about love. Like, I feel like the danger of this podcast is that it can camp, it presents itself as a selfish pursuit. But that's not how I personally perceive it. Like, when I talk about, like, searching for love, it's not going like, I'm looking for something where I can get this feeling or this validation from that person, you know, like when I'm searching for it, that's not really what I'm after. Like what I'm after more is like the quality of like the way I want to live my life is like as a team sport. Like,
oh my God, that's a quote.
Like, I don't want to be like a, you know, I don't want to be doing it alone. And I think that's what I'm going for is like, how can you like find that connection with someone where you can like build something together, where you make each other stronger in your like individual lives.
I honestly, that's incredible because I just don't see life like that. It's an incredible way to think of life though. It's such a healthier, probably more healthy way.
What do you mean? Well, how do you see it?
I see that you are born alone and you die alone and, you know, you are an egg and it's just you and it's just you in your head and you can make positive connections, but at the end of the day, it all ends up just being you. And if you had fun along the way, that's fantastic. But I don't think that I ever probably would ever share my life wholly with someone else.
Oh, I would.
Because I'm too...
It was interesting because I was having a conversation with this relates to what you're saying, but I think it has a lot to do with,
if it didn't, I'd have fucking shut you down. Go on.
It has a lot to do, I think, with the way that I was raised.
Yes.
And that
I think we've ascertained that we've been raised in two very different ways.
Well, can I
absolutely elaborate.
So I was doing this thing with my mum where we were talking about euthanasia and she was having a debate about it with somebody else. She's Catholic, but she's on the fence about euthanasia. She just doesn't know where she lands because the thing that makes her uncomfortable is that she goes, I could never make a decision about my living or dying because my life is not lived just for me. It's lived for the other people in it, like my family, my husband, my children, my friends.
So her life doesn't belong to her.
So in essence, it doesn't belong to her to make that decision over it. Now, so many people would disagree with that, and I don't know that I'm entirely on board with that opinion either, but I think probably having been raised by people who believe that their lives are in service to each other and to the community or rah-de-rah-de-rah, has like an effect. But I don't know that I necessarily believe that either, but I like my view of partnership is like, is that you live in service of the other person, but that's okay and that's not a dangerous concept because the other person is also doing that for you.
This is so Catholic of you, all of this, but go on.
Is it though?
Yeah, because I love it. Like, it's so chrysso, man.
Is it chrysso?
Yeah, I think so. In a way, in a good way.
But
the best way.
I'm not living it in service of God. I'm like living it in service of
what
people
if you,
I
what
love.
If you're going out with God? Isn't that what nuns do? They're going out with God.
Well, I don't believe in God, so.
Oh, fucking rage against the machine, girl.
Oh, shut up. I don't know. Maybe that is chrysso. Maybe I need to rethink it.
No, don't. No, there are many positive aspects of Christianity.
I don't know. I mean, now you've made me feel all weird about it. Maybe it is too. I mean, I know it's full on. It's not for everyone.
Well, no, what's the alternative? Somebody. The alternative is much uglier of going, oh, yeah, I just believe that, you know. Basically what I said.
But I think that's valid too. Like, I don't think there's any right or wrong way. I just know that that's the type of shit I'm after, is like the type of relationship where you don't like complete each other. You're like,
you complement each other.
You complement each other.
Sure.
And you like, you're building things together, but also separately. Jeez. You got to have a shared goal and you got to have individual goals.
Wow. What an incredibly healthy outlook.
Do you think it's healthy?
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's so outdated that I'll never find somebody who shares.
Oh, that's true as well. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You're in the Stone Age, girl.
I'll be alone forever with this great outlook on life.
You'll be alone forever, but you have your principles, you know? Dolls.
I don't see them as principles, though. It's not a principle. It's just my genuine desire to share things with someone. I don't put any value statement on that. It's just how I feel. Like,
no, but I mean, principle in that you're... Yeah, I guess that's the wrong word then.
Oh, God. Like, I don't devalue anyone who doesn't want that.
Oh, I've got a sore neck.
Sorry, I spoke for so long then.
Yeah, but it was good.
Be honest, did you tune out?
No, I just got a massive headache now.
Oh, well, should we end it?
No. Oh, God, I really fucking don't want to talk to you. Can you answer it, please?
I'll answer it.
All right.
Hello, this is Bonus of the Heart.
Hello.
Well, hi, it's me, Drew Barrymore.
Wow, Drew, this is incredible. We were just talking about you. This is amazing. I can't believe it. We just started watching The Wedding Singer. We are such big fans.
I've never seen The Wedding Singer, actually. I feel quite nervous about watching myself.
Sorry, I'm so sorry, Drew. This is such a bizarre thing to say, but your accent, it's changed a bit to it in the films, isn't it? A deeply Southern American accent.
Yeah, I was actually born in the South, and I kind of traveled a little bit, but you know, I always kept it. And then I will put on my little cutesy. Wow,
I've got to say, it's so bizarre because to speak to you right here, it's just mad because you almost have a pitch perfect Dolly Parton accent.
Oh my God, you little Drew Barrymore. Sweet little thing. Oh my God. How could you dare say that to my face? I just love Dolly. She's just absolutely fabulous, if you ask me. You know, Imagination Library, I can't believe she's doing that for our little children.
Again, it's just so confusing to hear you speak in such a Dolly Parton accent and speak so positively about Dolly and yet be Drew Barrymore.
Oh my Lord, you just do talk compliments to me.
Wow, Drew. Well, any reason why you rung in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I can't believe you two are watching the Gosh Darn Women Singer. You know, when I made that film,
we're watching The Wedding Singer, not The Wedding Singer.
Gosh Darn Wedding Singer.
Fucking hell, bitch.
No!
What?
Just warming up!
Yeah, that was why I ended it, because I could tell you were feeling yourself.
Me getting more confident.
Yeah, honestly. You were having the time of your life, and I didn't like to see it.
Goddamn time of my life.
I didn't like to see it.
Speak for real, do I have a Dolly Parton impression in the
That was
tank?
Really good, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but you got to talk like this.
I'm
imagining... I love 9 to 5. I love Jane Fonda. I mean, she's got some kind of strained politics.
Wow, she's politics, she's a lefty. I mean, she is a guy. She is a socialist. Children are right.
Mine's more Holly Hunter.
I'm more Dolly than you are.
You're more Dolly than me. This is insane. Yeah. Talking like Holly Hunter.
You know, I love Jane.
Just Holly and Dolly.
You know, her and I, we can talk about all sorts of things. We can talk about the horses on my ranch, and then we can talk about politics.
Have you seen my films? Have you seen 13?
But
13. Evan Rachel Wood.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, just because she just pinches her left side of her her mouth.
There's a conversation between Holly Hunter and
Dolly Parton. That's genuinely what I'm starting.
No, I want to give it a context.
Fuck, okay.
Okay, Dolly Parton and Holly Hunter are meeting at a telethon in 2002 for Hurricane Katrina.
Okay, sure.
In the bathrooms.
Okay. Wow. So, I'm so sorry. Is Dolly?
Oh my gosh, you little sweet thing! Oh, you know God. Us, Dolly.
No, I'm just such a huge fan. I'm
Holly Hunter. Holly Hunter, yeah. My God, I love your films.
Oh my God. that is so flat. What's your favorite?
Oh, I love that little film 13 with those lost little girls.
I love that.
And I just love you in the Big Sick.
Such a pleasure
to come in 10 years.
That's incredible. You know what kind of films I'm going to be in.
Well, I've been developing a few on the side.
You ever see The Piano?
I've seen the piano.
That's how I pronounce it, The Piano.
The Piano?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen The Piano, and I got to tell you, well, that is just some nonsense that boy was up to on that beach. Just some nonsense.
You mean Harvey Keitel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a scary little...
It was a fantastic opportunity to go to New Zealand.
Well, it's beautiful. I ain't never seen a beach like that. No.
Oh, New Zealand? You never been to New Zealand?
No, I've never been. Where's New Zealand? I ain't never heard of New Zealand.
Hey, Dolly, what's your favorite song of yours?
Well, I've got to get back into the accent. Well, you know, I always loved "I Will Always Love You," but it's always hard to love.
It's hard to love
a song when it's sung so much better by someone else. But I got to say, Jolene is the one that really gets me going.
I'm so sorry, Dolly. I think
you like a coat of many colors.
I'm not wearing my contacts, and I feel like your wig is slipping here. Sorry, what did you say your name was again?
Dolly S. Parton.
Dolly S. Parton.
Yes.
It just seems like your accent has been all over the place.
I ain't know what you're talking about.
Hang on. Who's just walked in here? Dolly Parton. Oh, my God. What have I done here?
What the fuck? Hey, is that me?
No, that's
all right. Aussie Anne is at the 2002 Hurricane Katrina.
Is this the bride's bathroom? Oh my fucking God!
It's Joey.
Oh my God! I'm sorry, sir. You have to leave.
What the hell is going on,
sir?
In
you
here?
Have to leave. This is the woman's bathroom.
Oh, is it Dolly Parton? Is it?
Hey, Aussie Annie, you seem like a pretty cool person.
Yeah, fuck you, yes, I'm all right too, mate. What's that thing on your leg?
What's that thing on my leg?
Some sort of a device.
It's a little tracker, the stay at home prison kind of. Hey, I think we got a similar sense of humor. I think one day we're gonna end up ringing into the same podcast in 2016 when we bizarrely both listened to
Now that you both say it, I'm actually somebody who can. Oh no, that was when I was as Aussiana.
Fucking hell, this is actually so bad. This is so bad. The quality of all of that was so truly terrible.
I had fun though.
Yeah, I had fun as well. It was really fun. Anyway, that's been a 45-minute episode.
Oh
so we really
my
need
god!
To wrap it up.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
All right, let's wrap it up. Just if I could just leave one message with everybody at the end of this, it would be please follow the true word of God, our Lord and Savior, especially on this Good Friday when He did all die for our sins. So
shout out to that.
Shout out to Jesus.
That's the Jesus. Shout out to Jesus. Hope you guys have had a really good, safe Good Friday at your homes. And honestly, sorry, it's 46 minutes, so we're actually not taking any calls here. So thank you so much. Keep emailing into bonersoftheheart@gmail.com. I'm really not answering that, but okay.
They hung up. It's all right. They hung up.
No. I'll ring them back. Bring.
Hello.
Hi. We just missed a call from this number.
Hi, this is God who's calling.
Oh, this is bizarre. Sorry, did you just ring the Boners of the Heart
line?
Yes,
I just rung in Boners of the Heart.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm sorry. We missed your call. What were you calling
I just wanted about? To say you were giving an unauthorized shout out to Jesus, and I just wondered perhaps you could throw one my way, given he is my son.
Oh, okay.
And I am the one who put him up to die.
Honestly, we're a kind
a lot of,
a of
people forget that, you
we
know.
We are a
they
secular
give a
podcast.
Of,
we're a secular podcast.
They
we're
give
not...
a lot of credit to Jesus Christ, but really who's the one think... who asked him to die?
Beep. I really don't think we need to. We cannot take calls like that. It's just
okay. It is,
it's
yeah,
offensive.
It's destructive
and it's very sends the wrong message. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much everyone for listening in to this episode.
Thank you. God bless. Jah bless. And talk
stay
to you
safe, wash hands.
Bye bye.
Bonus of the heart. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.